Welcome to Growth Uncut, a podcast that interviews different people from around the world to talk about personal growth. We feel passionately about humanity and relationships and social justice. And today I'm joined by Kerri-Anne Burr, who works for us at Grow, Transform, Belong. Hello, Kerri-Anne.
Hello.
It's really lovely to interview you. So we are essentially besties. So it's really lovely to have you on the show. So do you want to just talk a little bit about your role at GTB?
Well, my role has, I suppose, evolved since I first started in the organisation. But currently, I do a little bit of everything, really. I suppose my main role in the organisation is to support staff to be able to grow and to be able to give the best service, I suppose, to whoever we're working with. So I provide them space to focus on their well-being, their professional development, the relationships within the team. So at the core of what I do when it comes to the team is to support their growth and their well-being, and also to train them, I suppose, and support them in training. So yeah, that's what I do. Aside from that, I am also involved in preventative stuff. So we've got a lot of sort of new, really exciting preventative projects in the pipeline, and some are already running. So I think, yeah, that's where my passion is looking at how we can support young people to divert from crime in the criminal justice system.
Yeah. And in terms of the work you do for GTB, in terms of, I guess, growing our staff,
yeah,
what is it that you enjoy about that? Why does that give you a sense of purpose or meaning?
Well, I suppose my background before joining GTB was I worked in probation in the interventions team for 16 years. I facilitated groups, and you work really closely with another facilitator, and invariably any new members of staff would be paired with me, mainly because I was the only one who carried on there for as long as I did, I suppose. But I really enjoyed taking on the role of supporting them in their growth. And with that, I then became a treatment manager for the team. And I was then able to train new staff. And I suppose what I get from it is just a real sense of satisfaction for them more than anything else, just to see people developing confidence and their skill sets and take on opportunities that they have never taken on before, and with vigor and, you know, with that hope, I suppose, that they've all got is, you know, it's what I do it for, really.
And we met when we were delivering programs together at probation. So I worked for probation for about 8 years. Looking back from then to now, what's your view on the journey we've kind of taken together?
Well, actually, I don't see our level of hope or motivation or excitement as being any different, really, than it was back then. You and I just wanted to sort of, we wanted to take on the world. We wanted to do so many things. And I suppose the only real difference now is that
we have opportunities.
We're that much older, but we have the opportunities now that I suppose we didn't before. I see that we are both realistic in that, but fully believe, both of us fully believe and have faith in a system that can be changed through the people, through enough people, and being able to create that sort of movement. And we've just created opportunities for ourselves through the business to be able to get our voices out there, to create sort of, you know, a tribe, I suppose, of people who are like-minded or people who we can support in making those differences with us. So not much has changed, really, in terms of us. Yeah. I know that we're older, but just more opportunities to do what we want to do.
Yeah. And looking back on your work with us so far, what would you say, if I asked you to tell me a story, a defining story that you just, that either brings you lots of joy or something that just stands out as a really kind of meaningful time, what would be one of those stories?
I suppose when we were in Guy's Marsh and we were doing the sort of pilot project, the growth project in Guy's Marsh, I think it was probably the first time I'd gone in to meet the growth team. And it was just a whole other world that I never thought would be possible, you know, where you've got staff and residents working together for the same cause, and just their level of hope, I suppose, which blew me away, really, because my feeling was that possibly there would be that sense of despair, that doors would be shut. And as we know in the prison system, you know, things don't move as quickly as sometimes we want them to. And I thought that that would have had quite an impact. But the hope, I suppose, that I saw within that growth team, the original growth team, some of whom are now working with us and are just amazing, you know, in terms of instilling hope in others and being that advocate for what people can do if you just give them the opportunity. But yeah, I'd say that first moment of going in and meeting the growth team and just being reinvigorated, really, in terms of my own hope, I suppose, it was catching.
Yeah. So you also talked about the prevention work that we've been doing, and I remember it being a really early conversation we had about our kind of bucket list, which we still have. And you saying, do you know what, I would love to do programs and I'd love to go into schools. And so you created a program. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so you and I had a conversation. I remember when I was first doing, it was my first group actually, my first program that I was running in probation. And I don't think you'd joined probation then, but anyway, I just remember turning to my colleague and sort of just really sort of asking, well, I don't understand why we are not delivering these sorts of interventions to young people who, you know, there's clearly gaps there that we can fill in terms of preventing. Surely that's far more productive than doing it at this point in life where people have, you know, set in their ways, they've got habits that are really difficult to try and unlearn. So I suppose that's where the first sort of seed was sown, as in I've seen what this can do with working with adults, but why is this not, you know, being run in schools? Why is there no capacity for this? And then when we met, I think we had that conversation, and yeah, just that want to be able to prevent something, which is really difficult to quantify, isn't it? I suppose, and maybe that's why it hasn't happened so far, is we can't quantify something that hasn't happened because you don't know whether it would have happened or not. But we talked about it a lot, and then you went off and started the company, and I could continued in probation and went into treatment management. But when I then joined you, I remember we had a conversation outside Guy's Marsh. We were in the canteen, weren't we, in our lunch break, and you sort of said, what about if you took on the roots of the tree in terms of the preventative side of it? And I just looked at you and thought, I know that this is real. I know that you will make this real. You know, these aren't sort of suggestions and pie in the sky anymore. This is something that can happen. And Sarah has the capacity and the willingness to actually make this real. So for me, that was just like an absolute gem. And from there on in, it was a slow burner. We looked at how we could get into schools, and there's all sorts of, you know, hurdles, I suppose, mostly financial. Schools don't have the funds that they really need to be able to provide those sorts of additional services. So we had to do a lot of sort of thinking around where those funds might come from, what they look like. We then met an amazing woman called Sharon Burt, who at the time was a head teacher in an excellent school in the New Forest. We weren't fully aware that it was an excellent school when we went to pitch to be able to deliver this program in her school. And she said, you know, we're doing actually okay. We don't really have that need, but I'll bear you in mind. And we're sort of, I think we were just aligned, weren't we? She had a real growth approach, and she just loved what we were doing, what we wanted to do. And we stayed in touch with her. And she then put us in touch with Louise, who's the head teacher at Little Green. And since then, we've had the opportunity to deliver a pilot to young people who have been identified, I suppose, most at risk of possibly entering the criminal justice system. And there are indicators in terms of behaviour, I suppose. And that was down to the school to choose the pupils. And it went really well. And we're now doing our second cohort. So we're still at Little Green. And there's real opportunity now to expand that into other boroughs. So we're really hopeful that will be something that continues.
And in terms of what your key learning from the Little Green kind of pilot, what would you say, you know, if there's people out there that are doing preventative programs or want to do preventative programs in schools, what would you say is probably the most important thing to bear in mind when working with that age group and, yeah, the nature of our kind of work?
I mean, at the forefront of all of our work and at the core of all of our work is around relationships, isn't it? And acknowledging that whoever we're working with is the expert in their own lives and working with them. So being led by them, I suppose. And with young people, I see that as even more important, because what I see is young people who are showing, trying to demonstrate that they have a need that's not being met through sometimes quite destructive behaviour for themselves or others. So it's, I suppose, about trying to meet them where they're at, acknowledging that sometimes the way that they behave or display or present themselves is not necessarily what's going on inside. So seeing beyond the behaviour, I think, is really key. And building rapport with these young people is really important. A lot of what we're seeing is that some of the difficult behaviours that we're experiencing, is particularly early on, I feel is around that lack of trust. You know, how can I trust that you're going to stay? I'm going to push and push and see whether you will be there still, and whether you're going to actually listen to what I'm saying, or whether you're going to tell me what I need to be doing and what direction I need to be going in. So I'd say the key is to be led by them, get to know them, build trust as much as you can, and tell them a bit about yourself. You know, this isn't about them necessarily, it's about a relationship. And if at the core of everything we do is having a quality relationship, it is reciprocal. There is something there where we have to share a bit about ourselves for them to see us as human beings, not teachers or leaders or, you know, dictators in any way. So yeah, I'd say that those were the key sort of approaches to take. Yeah.
Ooh. And your hopes for the future in terms of one hope for GTB this year, what would be one hope? I really hope that we can secure regular funding through us. And there are options now that we're looking at in terms of councils funding us to be able to go in to schools and support young people to divert them from crime, to help them to grow the best version of themselves, for them to be able to explore their identities, where they belong, what their direction is, what they are capable of. So yeah, I'm really hopeful that by the end of the year, we will be able to have expanded that program into our schools.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Kerri-Anne. It's so nice to talk to you always.
Lovely. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you want to hear more about what we do, please have a look at our website, www.growtransformbelong.com, or check us out on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.